This is the LZR Project, an episodic story series by David N. Alderman. The LZR Project takes place within David's Expired Reality universe and serves as a prequel to the main novels in his Expired Reality series. The LZR Project is produced by the Crossover Alliance Publishing Company. Episode number 2. The date is Tuesday, April 6, 1998. Veronica Amaru took a long sip of coffee before straightening out the wrinkles in her violet pantsuit. Standing in front of the door to Suite 9, she noticed that the 36th floor of the Bank of Lysalis building looked like every other floor of the Bank of Lysalis building, except that the carpeting on this floor carried a red and black stripe pattern that played with the eyes if stared at too long. As eager as she was to start the LZR project, Veronica woke with nerves fluttering around in her stomach. She knew they would eventually capture Mr. Big. That was the whole purpose of the LZR project. But she sensed a dark intuition that the journey to capture the infamous criminal would lead to the demise of her friendships with David and Carrie. She didn't know why she felt this deep foreboding, but she did, and she couldn't easily ignore it. Before opening the door, Veronica took another swig of coffee, swishing the bitter drink around in her mouth to savor the moment. 5 a.m. was not the time she normally woke, and waking up so early in the morning did nothing for her mood. She finally mustered up the courage to open the door and walked into the lobby to find David, Carrie, and her own brother Sean standing around the black marble counter in the front lobby. David looked bright-eyed and wide awake, which was no surprise. He wanted nothing more than to catch Mr. Big. He had combed his hair and was wearing a strong body spray that seemed to permeate the lobby. It smelled of ocean water. Carrie looked dead to the world, bags under her eyes, her hair was a bit disheveled, as if she had just rolled out of bed and come down to the bank building on a cloud. Sean had left the house a good 20 minutes before his sister to grab breakfast on the way here, but strangely, Veronica noticed he didn't have anything with him to eat. Maybe he ate in the car, she thought. I think this is the first time I've ever seen my sister show up late to anything, Sean grumbled. I'm not late, she replied, setting her cup of coffee on the counter. It's 5 minutes till. She noticed black marble under her feet and steel sheets lining the walls around her. The office had an ultra-modern and expensive touch to it. Tall green plants flanked the back of the counter, adding some color to the sophisticated design. A blank space on the wall behind the counter indicated a place where the LZR logo would go once a design was decided upon. Ridley should be here any minute, David said, unzipping his black leather jacket. Carrie stood next to Veronica and leaned her head on Veronica's shoulder. I don't like getting up this early, she groaned. Then she motioned to her outfit, a green blouse and blue jeans. I didn't really know what we were supposed to wear, either. I don't think it really matters today, Veronica said, taking another sip of coffee. She offered the cup to Carrie. Want some? Carrie lifted her head and beamed, taking the cup from Veronica. Just what I needed. The front door opened and a woman in a black blazer and skirt strolled in, her black heels clacking against the marble flooring like the hands of a clock. She carried her dark hair up in a ponytail and held a black briefcase in her left hand. I see all of you are here on time. My name is Ridley Grant, and I will be the liaison between you and the Inera government. She went straight for David and grabbed his hand without timidity. She shook it vigorously. It's a pleasure, David. I've been looking forward to this day for some time now. He nodded. Me too. She shook the other's hands and then set her briefcase on the counter and popped it open. She pulled out a stack of black folders and handed one to each of them. These are your access codes, computer logins, and security clearances for this office. Veronica flipped open her folder and found miscellaneous documents inside with codes and passwords and instructions printed on them. Each document carried a red boomerang watermark. Again with the boomerangs? Sean grumbled. Veronica shoved her elbow into his ribs, causing him to drop his folder and scatter its contents across the floor. He knelt down to pick them up. What did you do that for? Veronica knelt down to help her brother clean up the mess. What did you and I just talk about last night? David sighed and apologized to Ridley for Sean's outburst. Ridley shrugged him off, shut her briefcase, and then motioned for everyone to follow her through the lobby area. Veronica finished helping her brother, and then they both rushed to catch up with their friends. Ridley stopped at the end of the hallway where a black steel door stood. A small card scanner to the right of the door hummed with a pulsing red light. Ridley held her hand out toward David. Card? In your folder. David opened his folder, pulled out his new ID card, and handed it to Ridley. She took the card and swiped it along the scanner as it chirped and the red light turned green, unlocking the door. She handed the card back to David. Consider those cards an extension of you. Hold on to them with your lives. They followed Ridley into a hallway, each side lined with doors of frosted glass, with individual numbers to the right of each. These conference rooms are where we'll be spending most of our time together as a group before the various missions, she said. Picture frames hung upon the walls of the hallway, each embracing a photograph of different parts of the city of Lysalis. Veronica recognized each one of them, including Diazon's Bookstore, Gray Alley, the Bank of Lysalis building, Reuters Park, and Kennedy's Shelter. Once past the conference rooms, the hallway branched off to six rooms, three on each side. The hallway ended at a window which overlooked the industrial district of Lysalis, the tall cisterns and smokestacks of the factories snuggling together in the chill of dawn. "These are your individual offices," Ridley said, motioning to the rooms. "When you're not in the field, and not in a meeting, this will be your home away from home." Carrie's eyes lit up. "Which one is mine?" Ridley pointed to the door behind her. Then she pointed to the room across from Carrie's. "That one is yours, David." She pointed to the one next to his. "That one is yours, Veronica, and the one over next to Carrie's is yours, Sean." Veronica opened the door to her office. She flipped the light switch and took a deep, satisfying breath. Inside the small room stood a black desk with a black leather chair, a black bookcase, black filing cabinet, and a black floor lamp. The wall opposite the door was nothing more than a large pane of glass that looked out over the city of Lysalis. From her new vantage point, Veronica could discern the varied lights of the Midnight District, the red and pink hues emanating from the Pleasure District, and the tall buildings that surrounded the Bank of Lysalis and made up the Financial District. "You like it?" She turned to Ridley, a warm smile on her face. "I do. I knew you would. I had a feeling that you and David were the types to like a window view." Veronica followed Ridley into the hallway where the rest of her friends were gathered. A frown marked Sean's distasteful attitude, but Veronica couldn't discern why he would be in such a bad mood. Ridley clapped her hands together. "Well, this is pretty much the end of the tour. There's still the armory, where you'll prep before each mission, the holding room, where we'll temporarily keep the criminals we catch, and the break room, all of which branch off the lobby area. Other than that, this is it. This is where you'll be spending the bulk of your time until we capture Mr. Big. What do you guys think? Of course, we still have to make a final decision on the logo design after we take a look at Veronica's ideas." Sean lifted his hand into the air. "Did you say armory?" Veronica sighed loudly. Ridley nodded. "Yes, pulse pistols, pulse grenades, bulletproof vests, comm devices, the essentials. Well, the big boss wants to have a meeting with the four of you before things really heat up with your first mission tomorrow. Take your new offices in and then meet in conference room 3 in 10 minutes. Carrie and Sean retreated to their offices while Veronica followed David into his. She watched him go straight to the large window overlooking Lysalis. His view was nearly the same as the one she had in her room, except for the neon figure lighting up one of the buildings adjacent to theirs. A woman in a purple skirt and red halter top, blazing white pigtails shooting out the top of her head. Letters running down her left side read, "Tats, Tats." "Your brother is getting on my nerves," David said as he crossed his hands behind his back and looked out onto the city. The sun had begun to break through the skyline to usher in a brand new day. Veronica couldn't remember the last time she was up early enough to see the sunrise. As per her night owl personality, she was used to staying up until 3 or 4 in the morning. She drew to David's side and held his arm as they both stared upon the city. She thought for sure he would push her away from such an intimate act, but he simply stared out the window with her. She cleared her throat. "You don't have to keep him on board, you know." "He's just getting on my nerves," David replied. "Your brother needs to grow up." "I agree," she said. "I have a feeling he will in time," David said, "especially with the structure the project can give him. I don't really like working so closely with the government, but this may be our only chance to shut down Mr. Big's organization once and for all. My brother may end up ruining this for all of us." The words tasted bitter in her mouth, but she knew they were the truth. "Just be careful," she said. "If you need to, send him home. He isn't fully invested in this like we are, and I don't want the day to come when he puts all of us in danger." David sighed, and then turned out of her embrace to look her in the face. "I'll keep an eye on him." She grinned nervously. "That's all I'm asking." "Come on," he said. "We should get to the conference room." The four friends entered conference room 3 and picked seats at the large oak table in the middle of the room. David and Carrie sat next to one another, something that came as no surprise to Veronica. "I wonder when the two of them will finally tell each other how they feel about one another," she thought. Sean took a seat next to his sister, a large grin on his face. He leaned over and whispered in Veronica's ear, "I can't wait to check out the armory." "You're like a prepubescent child, you know that?" she whispered back. "Can you just focus on what this whole thing is really about and not get caught up in the flash and sizzle of the extras?" Sean scoffed. "You can be a real party pooper sometimes." A severely overweight man in a black business suit stood at the front of the room, his eyes peering out at the four of them with a measure of annoyance. When Ridley finally entered the room and settled into a seat on the other side of Veronica, the man picked up a black marker from the whiteboard on the wall and began to write his name out on it. "My name is Roger Belmont. I am the head of the Inera government's security division." When he had finished writing his name, he set the marker on the lip of the board and turned toward the five of them, motioning to Ridley with his massive left hand. "Ridley here is going to be your supervisor and liaison, but I am the one in charge of the LZR project from start to finish." Sean groaned. Veronica swung her foot under the table and managed to find purchase on Sean's shin. Roger glared at the two of them, then turned his gaze toward David. "I want you all to understand one thing while you're here. This isn't a game. The Inera government is handing its resources over to all four of you in the hopes we can capture Mr. Big and the rest of Inera's most dangerous criminals. That's the whole point of this project. That is the only point of this project. This isn't a publicity stunt. This isn't a way for the four of you to have fun together. This is..." Ridley raised her hand. "With all due respect, Roger, these guys and gals aren't stupid. Let's get on with the orientation and get things rolling. The faster we start, the faster we can finish this." Veronica found herself impressed with Ridley's temperament. Roger was steaming mad now, apparent by the bright red color flowing into his fat cheeks. He took a few moments to compose himself, and then grabbed the black marker and started writing on the board again. "These are the details for your first mission, which you will embark on first thing tomorrow morning before the sun even rises." He wrote the words "Scarlet Rogue" on the board. Veronica glanced toward David to see if he would reveal any kind of reaction to the name of his ex-girlfriend, but he sat still and attentive with the best poker face she had ever seen him express. Roger continued, "Against my better judgment, we are going to skip the formal orientation and training and just get you four into the field as soon as possible." He wrote the word "Lysalis." Veronica raised her hand, but without even turning around, Roger held his left hand up, motioning her to be quiet. "Ridley seems to think you four have enough experience to start without any further training. I am expecting to prove her wrong. Nonetheless, I will give your liaison the benefit of the doubt." Ridley sighed and then mouthed the word "sorry" to them. David shuffled in his seat and then spoke up. "What does Scarlet have to do with our first mission?" Roger wrote three more words up on the board, "dead or alive." Then he placed the black marker on the lip of the board again and turned toward them. "Scarlet escaped the facility she was being held in a few days ago. She's been spotted somewhere here in the city. She needs to be apprehended immediately. She is a clever one. She's already outsmarted the best in our police force. She has to be taken dead or alive." "Why?" David asked with an edge in his voice. "I know your history with Scarlet, David, so I'll understand if, and possibly even recommend, you choose to sit this one out. I don't think the four of you will be able to capture her anyway, but that's beside the point." "What the heck does my history have to do with this? Scarlet was locked up the last I heard, and now she's escaped? From the prison?" Roger shook his head. "Not from the prison, from the facility." Veronica shrugged. "What facility?" "That's classified," Roger snapped, glaring at her. "At the moment, she's on the run and is hiding out in Lysalis. We need to capture her in the next 48 hours or we'll lose our chance." "What do you mean, dead or alive?" Ridley asked. Roger's neck flared up in a bright shade of crimson. "What do you think that means? Bring her in with or without her life intact." "We don't kill people, Mr. Belmont," Carrie remarked. Veronica noticed her friend's eyes widen at the insinuation. Carrie was very much a pacifist, as was David. To be told they were going to possibly have to kill someone on their very first mission did not bode well for the rest of their time here. Roger grunted. "You'll do whatever we tell you to do, understand? This is a government-run organization, not your personal command center." David shook his head. "No, we don't kill anyone. That's black and white, Mr. Belmont, period. End of story. If you want Scarlet Rogue killed, you can do it yourself." "I would, Mr. Corbin, if I could." "Now, as I said before, if your history with Scarlet is going to be a problem, you can stay here and vacuum your office all day tomorrow, if you want, while your friends are out capturing her." "What are you talking about?" David said. "Why wouldn't I be able to lead my team to capture her?" "Duh, David," Sean exclaimed. "We all know you dated her a while back." David glared at him. "So what? What does that have to do with anything?" Roger slapped his palms down on the surface of the oak table and stared directly at David. "Listen, Corbin, you are emotionally attached to this situation. If you feel up to doing this task, so be it. But I swear, if you screw this up, I'll make sure you pay for it." Ridley put her hand up in Roger's face. Okay, Roger, that's enough. You really want our first meeting to be full of your empty threats? What did you just say? She turned to them and smiled. That's the end of the meeting, guys. Take the rest of the day to get acquainted with your offices and the personnel. The receptionist will be in at 9, and I have a ton of paperwork for each of you to fill out. Insurance waivers and the such. She stood and grabbed a stack of black folders from the head of the table and handed one to each of them. These are your mission parameters for tomorrow. Scrutinize them. Be here at the office at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. Sean leapt from his chair. 3 o'clock? Roger slapped his palm to his face and mumbled incoherently. Ridley glared at Sean. This is your job now. Be here at 3 a.m. or don't be here at all. David left the office and Veronica found herself wondering if all of them were going to make it through this unscathed. Sean was right about David and Scarlett dating, but the relationship had been so short-lived that dating was almost an overstatement. By the second date, Scarlett had tried to kill David, ending any promise of a future with her. Nobody knew why Scarlett had turned on David, but Veronica heard Scarlett mumble something about a mercenary before she was knocked out cold by Veronica's own hands. If Veronica hadn't been hiding in the shadows, keeping an eye on David, she wouldn't have been able to get David to help before the poison Scarlett had administered took effect. What is this facility Roger hinted at? Veronica wondered. If Scarlett wasn't put in prison, then where had she been put? She's a criminal, not a psychopath, so she wouldn't have been put into a mental ward, right? Veronica broke out of her thoughts and found Sean glaring at her. Can I help you? She asked. No, I don't think anyone here can help me. He left the room, taking his mission folder with him. Keep it together, Sean, Veronica thought. Keep it together until we can capture that son of a bitch. Thank you for listening to the LZR Project. If you are interested in reading more of David Alderman's Expired Reality series, please check out thecrossoveralliance.com and make sure to check out the author's website at davidnalderman.com.